Charleston on call, Council Tall Chair.
Mark Bomer, Council Staff.
Liz Stem, Council Staff.
Ken Pugh, Membership Co-Chair.
Ron Ennis, Council Member.
Chuck Adams.
Ms. Guzman, Chuck Staff.
So, we'll go ahead and review and approve the July 7th draft agenda. Any additions or amendments? Okay. Any opposed to approving the agenda as written? Okay. Oh, and I just realized I don't think we have quorum.
We do not.
Okay, so there's no point in voting on this, but you can go ahead and take a look at the minutes if there's any changes that we need to have to vote on it later. I just want to review really quickly and see if there's anything.
So is membership the same as it's on the minutes?
Because
did things change since?
No.
Okay. I think it's reflected in the last meeting minutes, but Richard Orchard is no longer a member.
He isn't. How about Wade?
The only change was Richard.
Okay.
Wade is.
Does that affect the quorum?
Yeah, it does. Yep.
So does that mean we have quorum now?
We do.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Do we
want to go back and
approve
the agenda? Mm-hmm. Any opposed to approving the agenda as written?
Minutes?
No.
Any opposed to approving the minutes as written?
In case you haven't heard yet, the summit date has been set. It's been actualized. It is Friday, September 2nd from 10 to 4. Location TBD. We're looking at a place in the Tenderloin. And the full council meeting for August will now be on the 29th, 3:30 to 6:30, usual time.
Is that the usual day it would have been?
No. It's actually 1 week later. Mainly because, solely because of the grantee conference that's occurring that week.
And that's the 29th of July?
Of August.
August. And we'll still have one in September, too?
Yes.
Any other announcements? Public comments. Okay, moving on to our policies and procedures. We all have two documents in front of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have the table of contents, and then the thicker policies and procedures that we'll be going through today. I'm going to hand it over to Anna.
We're creating a living document of all past policies. We've decided not to bring it in the hard copy form because it's getting a little unwieldy. If anyone wants a copy, we can send it by email or we can project those. But for now, I think we can work from this this document and start working through the remaining policies. The first one is, we can just go right into it. At the request of the group last time, we consolidated the language from both prevention and care around co-chair roles and responsibilities. So on pages 2 and 3, up until that line, this is the consolidated language that we're presenting. Beyond that, you can see what existed in each country before.
Is there anything that was outstanding or anything conflicting between the two?
The consolidation that happened mostly was around making sure that both care and prevention services were covered for a couple of the items. And there was a lot of repetitive language. So to consolidate language around, like, developing agendas or facilitating meetings. We removed a couple items that were not the sole responsibility of co-chairs, things that would fall under, say, the steering mandate. I don't think that we updated a whole lot under qualifications or participation requirements. The main consolidation happened around roles and responsibilities. We could walk, I mean, if it's easy, we can walk through, like, 1 through 5 and then see if that looks okay. Do you want to just move through it, or does anyone have any objections to approving it as it's currently written?
So then we need a motion to approve.
Sorry, I do have a question. Under qualifications, number 2, it only references Ryan White.
Page 5 is what you're talking about?
Page 2.
Page 2. Under qualifications, number 2.
Yeah. So we can insert like CDC language?
Right.
Maybe just make it say knowledgeable about CDC and Ryan White requirements and processes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I think maybe this half heard what was going on. So co-chairs have to be members for 6 months. Is that what the question was?
I
mean, in order to serve as co-chair, wasn't that from the last minutes or something?
I think they removed that.
Yeah.
Oh, you removed that.
There was
yes.
a couple of things that got scrapped. There was the lifetime cap that taken away, and the 6 months required.
Okay, so it doesn't matter how long you're on to run for co-chair. Okay.
Number 8 under qualifications. Seems potentially unnecessary now because there's no longer just the way that the requirement of the co-chair was written. So my understanding is that before there was like a seat that was filled, but now since there's more than three qualifications, I don't know.
Oh, it's still a mandated attribute for the co-chairs. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think some of the intent behind it is you can't fill that seat if you're not publicly disclosing that you're
right.
That you're positive.
Okay.
Anything else in this? Any of the sections on your co-chair roles and responsibilities?
No. What you guys did last time was tell us what to remove and then come back for it to be approved this time. So it still needs to be approved.
So just a discussion point. Number 15. How do we think that works? Would it be better if we have the co-chairs ask somebody to be their acting? Because if it has to go back to the council, usually do you have enough time for a council decision about who's going to be the acting, if both co-chairs.
You know, Allie and I were actually just discussing this before this meeting about what to do with this 15, and I think we just left it as is because my understanding, just from how this has happened in the past, and it's been very rare, is that if for some reason all three co-chairs can't be there at the start of a meeting, they'll designate a council member or council staff or DPH to run the meeting for the first half hour until they get there. And so, with that being as sort of my only experience with that, I just suggest that we just leave it as is, since it sort of rarely comes up.
And there was something equivalent on the HPPC side, where if the co-chairs were not able to, if one or any of the co-chairs were not able to be at the meeting, one of the other members of steering would be able to step in to chair the full council meeting.
So if that's the case, shouldn't we, if that's where we're going, shouldn't we sort of designate it?
I think you want to leave it open, though, in case, depending on what the actual situation is. So it might be that steering, a person from steering might be the appropriate person, but it might also be for steering. And so maybe...
I guess my only issue is saying that the council is designating. Because does that put us in a...
Oh, I see what you mean. Rather than the co-chairs. Oh, that's
because if you, I mean, it's the nature of we're designating and acting from the group right now in the midst of not having anyone.
Absolutely. I wonder how people would feel about that instead saying an acting co-chair may be designated to preside over meetings. So that leaves it open to the group itself to pick one or to the co-chairs to designate in advance.
That's James.
So an acting co-chair may be designated to preside, dot, dot, dot.
Or somebody's going to ask the question, who's designating? So.
Rare times it happens, yeah.
So we have two amendments. We have the, what we just talked about, may be designated, and then the addition of CDC and Ryan White. Anyone
want to
make a motion for this policy? So moved. Okay. All in favor? Okay. Any opposed or any abstentions? Passes.
Yeah.
So we skip forward quite a bit, actually, because there's a lot of history. So next we have page 7, committee co-chair job description. This section, we didn't consolidate any language because there weren't committees in the form of prevention council, so this is just, there's no comparison here, this is just the policy committee. In the first section, so we, in just the first section, a couple of things come up. One is that the terms, it says that they should begin near November 1st. I'm assuming that's something around the summit and when council co-chairs are elected, that they can serve no more than 3 consecutive terms, and that they should strive to have one of the co-chairs of the committee be appointed.
I wonder how the committee feels about just removing the phrase which began on or near November 1st.
I was going to say, because it seems to me we always end up really doing it after the first of the year.
Yeah, and so maybe just leave it open to when it actually needs to happen. Okay.
So, but that does beg the question how we're going to handle it this first go around when we're starting in the middle of a cycle, so to speak.
I think in some ways it's already spelled out for us. When we have 1 year term, it'll be a year from when they were elected. So, for example, council. Community engagement elected their co-chairs yesterday.
But doesn't that mean everybody is then changing co-chairs right before prioritization and allocation? Is that a good idea? Isn't it better?
That's a good point.
I would say this first year, maybe we should put it January and say this first term everybody goes a year and a half or something and start back in January, because it just seems to me things get... That's the last.
And then there's also committee reselection as well that happens every year.
Right.
And so it should be tied
with
to reselection.
And do we know what that is? There a designation when that happens?
No, that hasn't been discussed yet by leadership.
So we should tie the two together?
Yeah. Does it need to be on this though? Because in some ways
that's
a
separate policy.
Yeah, because
right?
In some ways that's something that I think leadership or steering would determine as far as just kind of supporting the idea that that needs to happen at a specific time. So I'm not sure that it wouldn't impact this policy, but it's something that...
Well, maybe just something that says, that spells out that it's coordinated with committee assignments. So it'll be elected... soon after committee assignments in a new cycle or something like that, so we always know to put the two together.
Gotcha. Okay. Committee co-chairs are nominated.
You know, we have a policy that we're at some point going to review around committee assignments, which could talk about when that happens, and then
it refers back to this.
We could refer back to.
Do we have that in here?
It's not on today's, but it's on our table of contents and stuff.
Okay, so it can be specific as far as if within that policy, that
just
co-chair election will occur. Okay.
The committee co-chair election will occur X amount after.
Yeah, exactly. And so this will just describe what they do, and that will describe the actual flow.
It doesn't hurt to have a reference of some sort, even if it's an asterisk C, committee assignments or something.
Okay.
I just know we're going through this in depth, and then we have new people reading it to help them as much as possible, some reference if possible. So are we moving to strike?
Which begin on or near November 1st?
How do folks feel about the re-consecutive term?
The same as the co-chair, isn't it? I'm good with that.
Well, but wait a minute. Co-chairs are elected for 2-year terms, right?
Council co-chairs, yeah.
Yes. So 3 consecutive terms of 2 years is 6 years. 3 consecutive terms of 1 year is 3 years. So they're not exactly the same.
That's true.
So I think just in terms of continuity, it would seem if it's good for one, it's good for the other, or vice versa. Either step down to 2 terms for council co-chairs, or step up to more terms for committee. Just a thought. Other people kick in. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. 6 years is a long time to be a committee chair.
It'll be 3 years for this.
3 years, I was going to
add. But I think what Ken was referring to, that to make it equitable, if it was 6 years for the council co-chairs, to see about making it equitable.
I think it's 4 years for the council co-chairs.
Yeah, because it's, you have two 1 year term, right? And then
as of our last DMP, it hasn't been ratified by the full council, but it was 2-3.
So I think the key is this, with the rotation. So this first cycle, it's off. But hereafter, everybody will be elected for 2-year terms. So if you have 3 2-year terms, it's 6 years. I think that's right. That's where the difference is. While on co-chairs, we're talking about 1-year terms. So again, then it begs the question, is it worth considering having co-chairs serve for 2 years? I mean, any amount of continuity, I think, helps to some degree. And we could do the same thing of rotating within the committee structure and have it done every other year for the two co-chairs. So you always have one that's been there.
So then leaving it as is would actually speak in some ways to that, because it would be it still would be 3 years rather than 6 years, but it would still speak to the idea of there's parity between the 3-year term, a 3-year term for the committee co-chair and a 3-year term for, 3-term max for committee co-chairs, as there is with a 3-term max for council co-chairs.
But
just be a shorter period of time.
Yeah, but and not the essence of it, the time.
So is what you're proposing to have 2-year committee selection cycles also?
Yes. I'm just throwing it out. I'm saying why not do a 2-year committee co-chairs and stagger them as well. So just like with the council, and I'm sure nobody's going to have any problem with it, so that next year somebody stays on from this year and somebody else. So every time you have the same kind of continuity to the co-chair roles as well. It just seems anything we can do to help the kind of process along without a total change every cycle.
So I have Allie.
One reaction I'm having is that I'm wondering if in the most recent set of changes, the work groups also apply as home committees. And I don't know how many of the work groups will stay for like that amount of time. And so if someone selects a work group that lasts for 6 months and then don't have to reselect for 2 years, I'm not sure if that's just an idea.
But they still have to select for a committee. They just would be.
They don't have to reselect within their cycle. So
if integrated
plan work group ends this month, then those folks wouldn't have to attend for the rest of the year.
But you're suggesting not only the co-chairs, but the term of the committee itself be two-year terms.
No, I thought that's what was implied in the idea of having two-year
terms. I was just talking about co-chairs.
I think the concern that is raised for me is around the need higher need for flexibility for committee membership and co-chairs than in some ways for council co-chairs, because committees reform every year. People can come in and out and request being put in and out throughout the year as well, and I think in some ways that might be tying hands, especially because I haven't noticed a whole lot of, I mean, a lot of times people are compelled to become committee co-chairs, and there's people jump in to fill the need, but not because they want to necessarily. And I think making it 2 years makes it potentially both less flexible and also maybe more unappealing for those folks who have been put in there for like, okay, well, I'll do it because this person just changed committees and it's only for 6 more months. So I think if we make that a 2-year term, and if we even do the staggering, that could just be a challenge for committee co-chairs and even getting committee co-chairs. And I haven't noticed it's been challenging, but I haven't noticed a big challenge with the structure. Well, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and I'm not strong against one or the other. It's just that if we have staggered, then we don't have to go through this beginning of each year having to elect co-chairs before the meetings can even start. You know, you've got the continuity of one. The same issue of continuity and full council is where I was proposing this back. But if people agree more with Mark, then it's I'm not tied to it.
And if I may, I will break from the previous HPBC structure where there were committees reassignments every year and committee co-chairs were elected at the beginning of each cycle. But we didn't see as much issue with continuity because there was the support staff that helped bring that continuity to this particular committee. So it was the support staff, DPH staff, and the council newly elected co-chairs working closely together to get that work going and continue the work from the previous year.
Again, I'm not tied to it. You know, you go all, and it's the whole mentoring concept, because if you're doing it the first time and somebody else is there, so there's, I'm sure, pros and cons on both sides. So since it doesn't be strong opinion, I'll back off and live it the way it is. So if I'm correct, it was an encouragement for the full council, but it's encouragement for the co-chair, for the subcommittees.
Qualifications number 2, again, adding that language of Ryan White and CDC.
I think this is almost exactly the same language from the previous policy.
Yeah.
We us to have it reflect the previous policy?
Well, I guess it begs the question when it says planning council bylaws and planning council policies and procedures, it's reflecting the joint council now. So in some ways, it is incorporating prevention, if you follow my reasoning.
Yes, I was just, it calls out Ryan White specifically.
Just
number
like
two.
Where we added CDC-related
yeah.
language.
Just add that in.
Yeah, so then number two would just read commitment to become knowledgeable about CDC and Ryan White requirements and processes.
I don't really see a lot of difference between the qualification section here and from the council co-chair. Do folks feel comfortable keeping it the same? It's on page three that we see, or two and three, that we see qualifications and participation requirements.
What about the item number eight? Would we bring that over to subcommittee culture description? Item number eight for the council culture.
Oh, except for that one.
Yeah,
that one.
I don't think that one would translate quite the same.
Because it's not required.
One thing I see under participation requirements is we could add language
that says that you don't have to
attend all committee meetings, you just have to attend your own committee meetings.
Mm-hmm.
All regular or special committee meetings?
You're welcome to.
Right, but that wouldn't be a requirement.
I mean, it's going to make it 10 times easier for us to keep up with that for membership if you're on the track and you're on the committee level.
You're talking about under participatory requirements. See, I interpret that as just for that, for the committee chair,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Do folks feel comfortable with qualifications and participation requirements?
Comfortable with substituting the ones on page 2 and 3?
No, I think they're the same except for 8, more or less. So the ones on page 7 that we see for this. I think I would say the same with the exception of adding CDC language where Ryan White is registered. Responsibility is a little different.
So the first one, it, I don't want to take it too literally, but when we say ensure community participation is incorporated, that doesn't mean that we want community members, per se, that are not council members.
I think that a couple of the items under this section are more value-based, like that one, the idea of community participation. These were, I think, really comparable in the care policy for co-chairs as well, and I think that we probably took a lot of that language out because it's so value-based and not necessarily the purview of just a committee co-chair.
I just remember, again, from long history, sometimes when we had a challenge that we didn't have enough community participation, and if language is that thing, and if you read that and it reads ensure community participation and we only have council members.
Yeah, is there a need for this second sentence? Because, I mean, I think that's relevant for one committee in particular, but is this relevant, say, for membership or for council affairs, which basically does presentation reviews?
Members of the council are community. I don't see a need.
I'm just going to ask, you said you were just referring to this, where you need to have
so this, we had, there was on the care policy for the co-chair policy, they had a lot of similar language to this that we removed that was not the purview of only co-chairs. So, I mean, if we delete that second sentence, I think it could still apply here. We can also... Yeah, we consolidated almost all of that into the co-chair role responsibilities for co-chairs. So...
I didn't know if there was sexual language.
I know,
so
we condensed it
yeah.
into this 1-17 on page 2. So I'm not sure that we can pull directly in the same way.
I think it's good in a kind of public relations concept to reiterate that we are representing the community, but it's just how we say it so that it isn't misinterpreted. So
what about changing from ensure to strive to incorporate community participation in committee work or something along those lines? Like, there's the value statement versus the we have to do this, right? Is that what you're...
Yeah, or maybe ensure community representation is incorporated. In that way, council members themselves need that role. And unless it is something like one of the committees that is basically trying to reach out to that group. But if we use representation rather than participation, maybe that solves it.
It really follows what Kevin mentioned as well. Are people okay with replacing that with representation?
So participation for
until our fourth is over, you can't do it. Where are we again? I'm sorry.
I'm page 8.
I think we're
page 8, 5, and 6. Yeah.
Well, that actually is, that's a key part of my job, is to make sure that the council adheres to bylaws and PNP and the tasks are completed in a timely manner. I mean, that's why I'm in this job. The only change I'd say is I changed my job title to program director in March, so I think it would be program director.
Right.
So, Mike, is that just your responsibility? Are you in every... committee?
Oh, maybe you should be council staff?
Right.
Much better.
Just because, unless you want to...
No. I like where your head's at. And certainly, actually, Allie and Liz and Dave all have things that they are responsible for. So. You can do that for number 4 for committee meetings as well.
So, do you have any concerns about number 4, really representing prevention and kinds of things, since it mentions your name?
Up there.
You already changed it.
Yeah. So how do we, at number 10 on committee meetings, how does the council designate an acting co-chair?
So should we use the same language you used before? An acting co-chair may be designated?
Yes. Say number 6, we should put 6 on the agenda of each of the committees on a routine basis. If we're saying that these co-chairs report back from steering to your committee, then we should have a placeholder to do that.
I'm sorry, which one are you talking about?
Number 6 under committee meetings.
Oh,
It seems to suggest that co-chairs are supposed to report back to their committees anything that happened from the steering committee. And I'm saying if that's the case, maybe that should just be a standard in the agendas for each of the committees. Well, I mean, either that or take it out.
Yeah, does it need to actually be in there?
I don't see it, though. I can see the value in Ken's suggestion, because I think we had that when the Prevention Council had committees. There was a one of the first agenda items after like public comment was steering update. And it was just a report back, you know, steering worked on this, this is what's going on, and moving on.
It does seem like it does fill the loop of if that everybody knows what's going on, because if steering, for whatever reason, does anything that's significant, that it comes up as soon as possible rather than waiting for the full council meeting.
But that's when it would happen, though. I guess my I mean, whatever, obviously, you guys want to do, but steering comes after all of the committees and before full council. So I have an update.
Oh, so it would
you'll be getting, you won't be getting any new, no news.
Right.
No news.
Right.
You won't be getting any new news.
In which case, take it out.
Yeah.
Yes, I got number 6.
And then I have a question just because this, again, new beginnings. Number 2 on page 7, under responsibility. So I'm assuming this is in the policies and procedures for a reason. And helps me understand and help explain to others.
I can give a little bit of an explanation around there. It's really key to the idea of the San Francisco model of care, in which the consumers of services are centralized as a part of not just public policy, but as far as planning. I think now with the merged council, it's widened beyond PLWH, so you might want to actually just use consumers of services rather than PLWH. I think, though, making sure there's something in there to show that we're still central, that we're still part of the San Francisco model of care of centralizing the people who receive those services in the planning of those services is important.
So how about if we just took out PLWHA especially and just said shall support unaffiliated consumers' representation and participation?
On the committee, period?
Yeah. I mean, we could add ACTUS. Yeah. Yeah.
Use the same language.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not very elegant, but the consumers of prevention services, I think, is how they're named. If people feel like maybe that and PWH, unaffiliated consumers, encompasses everybody we're talking about.
So you're saying add?
It's just another option. I think in another policy where we dealt with this, we've named another consumer group, consumers of prevention services.
Well, I think that's why if we take it out and say unaffiliated consumers representation, it would be unaffiliated consumers in all arenas.
Yeah, I think I was just trying to speak to Mark's comment about trying to still name people who stage their names.
I'm looking in the bylaws right now to see where that's.
I was thinking specifically of the co-chair requirement.
Yes, it boils down. The only time this really becomes an issue is when we have reviews by HRSA and things that want us to point out where we've designated we have X, Y, Z. And
yep.
So having it spelled out sometimes is good. So maybe Jesse's suggestion of leave in PLW. HA and add in prevention.
So shall support unaffiliated consumers of prevention and care services. You're right, it's inelegant, but services apostrophe representation and participation on the committee and advocate for the PLW HA committee. a hideous sentence, but it does actually it does describe it pretty exactly that you're that this the co-chairs are advocating for all from negative to positive consumers of services, but also specifically naming PLWH as well. So
do
I think
we
that does it?
Can we change advocate for the PLWH and just say and advocate for these communities? Because I mean, we want to do both.
It's making
right?
it a little bit nicer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shall support the representation and participation of unaffiliated consumers
yeah.
of prevention and care services, comma, and advocate for those communities.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. You mean of and
the
representation and participation of.
Yes, you just take the apostrophe out. And maybe a comma after committee. Well, I don't know. That's a stylistic decision.
Page 8, number 4, you want your new title in there?
Yeah, it's in conjunction with council staff.
So just wherever it says director, put
council staff. Let's spread that around.
Delegation.
Not one arrow, multiple arrows.
So again, I just, in the greater scheme of things, if we have 1-year terms on the committees, but 2-year terms on the at-large, you're saying principle of trying to get people to participate.
Absolutely. And we've actually seen that challenge.
So should we maybe make they're elected for 1-year terms and give people a chance to do it without a huge commitment?
I think it would help us with to face the issues that we faced in the past, and it would also certainly parallel the committee co-chairs.
I'm going to pose a logistical question. If they're theoretically the committee co-chairs and the at-large seats were changing at the same, would be changing at the same time, you would have potentially at some point a majority of your steering committee changing over. So continuity wise, that could, because the only people that would be there for the 2-year term would be the co-chair, or over a longer period of time would be the co-chairs.
So although there are 5 of them.
Right.
And
people would be re-elected.
Right. I think that's the key. The same issue of continuity would go down to the committees themselves. So I think we've got ourselves covered. It just gives people, it's easier to recruit people to take something that is onerous. You don't get credit, so to speak, for it. So that's, and half the time our problem has been getting quorum steering, right? Of all the committees, steering is the more difficult. So this would make it maybe a little bit easier. So I propose a 1-year term.
There.
I kind of think there's always going to be somebody who objects, like right. Ken Pierce. But there's but the vast majority of the people are going to assume that it's been reasonable discussion. You know, and we can certainly address why if it comes up. That you know, our history has been that it's sometimes difficult to get people to take longer terms in this way. And we also get the whole concept of representation allows for more change in that role, mm-hmm. and we'll still have the continuity of the co-chairs. And
no, I agree with you. I think one potential thing people might think of is like having people see at-large positions as sort of having more prominence or something on the council, maybe because they're on steering, or I don't know. Hmm. Maybe that's just my perception. But, and so maybe people look in those. Or because maybe they've been elected by the full council instead of by committee or something.
Well, the other thing, too, is that, you know...
Good point.
And so they might feel like they're more important and they deserve to.
The reality is that anyone can attend steering, right?
Yep.
Anyone can vote in steering. Yeah. So it's more about status.
Like
yeah.
Yeah.
Would be a change for both.
Oh, yeah, it would be a change for both councils.
So we're looking at 1-year terms.
And we're discussing.
Okay, but it would be 3 consecutive terms, it would be 3 years altogether.
Yes. Up to. The truth of the matter is, whether you're 2 years or 1 year, if you don't want to do it 1 year, you can resign. So really, maybe you're right. You know. And I think one thing that I've certainly learned is there is a great deal to be said for giving people some sense of importance. I think sometimes, especially with the HIV positive community, we are sometimes one of the key factors when they are losing so much control in many other arenas, knowing that they have an important role somehow. I know this more from people we've lost, you know, that they really don't want to give up their seat to the last minute, so to speak, just because it gives a kind of a purpose and a sense of fulfillment. So given it's not going to really make any difference whether it's 2 or 1 year, because you can resign if you want to.
That's a good point, too.
In our experience, we've seen people move from the at-large seats into a co-chair role as co-chairs become vacant as well. So that ends up happening as well. So sometimes people will only end up serving a 1-year term.
Just gives more flexibility.
Right. And it's all these roles, the committee co-chairs at large, are really, I've seen them in the past for both councils as leadership development for a full council co-chair.
Mm-hmm. As long as we take that thought and bring it over to the orientation and training and rather than just justifying base, but not really utilizing it. So I withdraw my 1 year.
Okay. So then what's back on the table is the 2 years with. So currently the HHSPC one speaks of 2 years with a 3-year consecutive term limit, and the HPPC does not have that similar limit on term.
Does it have any limiting?
It does not. Not in its in the last iteration of it.
I guess I would just speak that if everything else has got
term
limits, that we should be consistent.
Okay.
And as it currently stands in the first, is it consistent? Consistent with what we have now for conservation?
The one under 8-page SPC, yes. So it's sounding like we're leaning towards having that language be adopted as the fourth term, at least, for at large seat. Does someone want to make, or do we want to do it as all one piece, or?
Let's do it all, let's go through the whole policy
okay.
before, yeah.
So let's go into qualifications. So the first part there is the HHSEC language, and then followed by the HPPC on qualifications.
Do you want to just do the same replication that's happened in the past policies?
On the qualifications?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is, must be a member for 6 months.
I'm not sure at this point, but it was whatever the, on the qualifications
oh, no,
for
we took that out.
Committee
took that
and
out.
Council,
okay.
But not that.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. So active, yeah, they're basically kind of copy and paste. So it would be the same qualifications as what we just went over in community co-chairs.
I would wonder about that. And non-appointed members. Yeah. On page 10, the last part, HPPC.
Oh, that wouldn't be there. If you're just using the same qualifications as the one under council, I mean committee co-chairs.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so the HPPC one was just letting folks know that it could be any member could apply for at large. Because there was in the HPPC's bylaw that a appointed seat could not apply for community co-chair seats. So that's why this language states that an at large member can be either appointed or non-appointed.
I think
okay. That doesn't.
Right.
Well, I don't know if that.
So what did you say about that?
Sorry, what?
He's addressing the and non-appointed members on page 8, second sentence, top of page, and you said something about that being covered.
Yeah, I mean, if you take it out and replace it with what's going to happen there, it's assumed that anyone can be an at-large.
But I do think 6 needs to, we need to look at that because remind me about Robert rules.
So rather than looking at 6 on here, let's look at what's on the committee co-chair one because we're just doing a copy and paste.
Oh, okay.
The Robert's rules
section
is still there. I think for all of them.
Is that still?
It's preferred.
Preferred.
Yeah. So we didn't adopt Robert's rules. We implicitly adopted Democratic Rules of Order, but I think that the thought behind it is the same.
Right.
You know, we can certainly change it in all of like wherever it occurs. I think the thought and
where is Robert's rules on that? I don't see Robert's rules on. Oh, there it is. Sorry, my old eyes.
You could even just remove Robert's rules of order and just say group facilitation.
The other thing that I just bring up for our discussion is the very nature of us saying that in some cases these at-large seats are kind of in training roles, and to the extent we want to help people develop skills by saying that the qualification is strong communication skills in the first place, I'm not sure that we want in this particular area that we need to think about that. Are we setting it so that it I, as a person who's, you know, a community member who doesn't particularly have lots of experience in these arenas, is put off by qualifications like that.
I think taking out Robert's Rules of Order is a really good point, but, you know, I think actually experience with group facilitation is good to keep in there. They truly do have to facilitate a meeting, and sometimes there's disagreements in a meeting.
Yeah,
and I think
that's not the part. I'm talking about more strong communication skills.
You'd say something like willing to build.
And I think that's necessary for committee co-chairs as well, strong communication. If you're not a good communicator, you're not going to be able to be at steering to actually communicate what your committee has done. And same with at-large, you're not going to be able to communicate.
But what Ken was trying to say was that that was the first time they've been a co-chair of something. It's a more of a
building. They're not a co-chair, they're at-large. And what we were talking about is that these seats are seats where we do good development for people, getting them ready. It's kind of a moot point because, quite frankly, how do you judge strong communication skills anyway? But I'm just trying to say language that doesn't intimidate, you know, for someone who for the first time would be looking and saying, okay, maybe I'm interested in this at-large seat. I've just come on. I don't have a lot of experience. I'm a consumer. Maybe just take out strong.
I'm not sure that, like, my view of the large seats has never been that it is for necessarily as training wheels for the leadership also. Like, I don't.
Yeah, we have seen that different on the prevention side, but again, this is a new council, right? So there's kind of this merging of the different ideals.
You were out of the room when he was speaking to
us. Oh, okay.
So, on the prevention side, yeah, large seats have sometimes been seen as a way to develop leadership within the council, either to a committee co-chair or to a council co-chair. Not like explicitly written in the bylaws, but kind of just something that tends to happen.
So I think I would support Jesse's comment. Let's just take out strong and all of them and just use communication skills.
And take out rules for respectful, not rules for respectful engagement, which should stay, but Robert's rules as well.
Well, I think Allie had some comment about that.
Oh, I thought it was Allie's suggestion.
Sorry? That we remove
Robert's rules later?
Oh, yeah.
That is your suggestion? Okay.
Yeah.
Unless you want to say parliament.
Or group facilitation? Do you think that
group
would cover
facilitation?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, you can keep preferred though.
Just doesn't make sense though if you don't have like communication skills. Should start with have communication skills or.
Well, these are qualifications.
Yeah.
So
right.
You just.
Yeah. It's almost like bullet points, not necessarily sentences.
But would they all start with a verb?
Okay.
That one.
What about demonstrates? Communication skills, comma, willingness, including your willingness to speak in front of.
So this would also work back, Liz, to everything else.
So anything else on qualifications? So, just to recap that section, we're adopting what's under the HHSC, and then we would be scratching the two sentences under the HPPC, is that correct? Understanding? Okay.
So we're actually just removing everything under qualifications and replacing it with what's been put under committee co-chair. Yeah. Is that the case? Like, there's that paragraph above qualifications. That's also under qualifications.
Right.
Is that necessary?
That's a good question. I'm not sure I can know where you are.
Okay, so the second part is qualifications.
What
and
page?
page 9, and we are going to just remove everything that says HHSPC and HPPC and replace it with qualifications from the committee co-chair and council co-chair. However, there is that paragraph that's under bolded qualifications and above unbolded qualifications. Do you guys want to keep that or change that or do something with that?
Well, the first just says basically you can't, it's basically saying you can't hold more than one seat on the steering committee.
Yeah.
Is that
necessary?
Yeah.
Has that been an issue?
Never.
I feel like things are written out because there's been no reason
for
it to be spelled out.
Many of them have, but this is, I think, not one of them.
Okay.
Shouldn't we have that paragraph maybe above terms as like an introduction as to what this is?
Well, because we're coming into job description next. And so there's...
Maybe you should be placed there then.
I mean, to Jesse's point, I'm not really sure there's even necessity for that paragraph because it's kind of, it's just, just obvious in some ways.
So we're taking that out.
And again, Mark and Alec, the whole concept if you resign before your 2-year term, that concept about anyone who takes your term just fulfills your term, is that the way it works? Or?
I think so.
Yep.
So we are scratching
this. Well, we're still utilizing, but we're just scratching it off because it's addressed elsewhere.
It's addressed elsewhere.
So, that's all a good question. Ken. Please correct me if I'm wrong, Ken, but what I think I'm hearing is there a place in the policies and procedures that talks about resignations? So if either a at-large steering committee co-chair or council co-chair resign and someone is elected, they finish that term, and then is that what I'm hearing?
Right.
I think that's been built into each of the policies so far, right?
And I think
wasn't that in the co-chair?
Didn't we pass it last meeting?
Yeah, we passed one for co-chairs at the last meeting, and then there's one.
There's a resignation section further up that we'll get to in a bit. That's all you're going to do.
Can I step back for a moment and go back to the table of contents under 3? B, it has 2 and 3 at-large members and at-large steering members. Is this, what is that? Is that 2 different policies, or are we seeing these 2 different policies in what we're looking at right now?
I think one addresses
weight. So eventually, like if we finish this policy, those will both be grayed out.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Just a little meltdown there in my mind.
So we're adding 4 more.
Like 4 at-large members.
At-large steering members.
I read that as a large representative.
Yeah,
meaning that I could apply.
I know. No judgments.
Okay, so moving next to the job descriptions on page 10.
So the job description has a lot of overlap. Responsibilities for HPPC.
Oh.
These tables are weird.
Don't know your own strength there, Hernandez. Yeah.
So as we look through the position job description on page 10, we should probably also be looking at responsibilities on page 11. I'm trying to consolidate what they're supposed to do.
Are they the same?
A lot of overlap, but not the same.
Yeah.
The care council one seems very wordy. But does it parallel anything under co-chair?
Yeah.
Is there anything in the HPPC that is not within the HHSPC, since we're already using the HHSPC language for the co-chair?
Yeah.
There's a lot that have asterisks at the end of it that form appropriate work groups or act as the first level of intervention in resolving grievances.
So
those are roles that are, those are shared roles. So it was under the HPPC, it was not only the role of an at-large member, but also the role of the co-chairs and just the executive, since the executive committee was made up of the two at-large and the three co-chairs. So the asterisks are just shared roles across all
this
jobs.
Yeah. This HPPC language appeared in the co-chair policy also, and I think that wherever the, like my perspective on it was that if it's a job duty that is not the responsibility of an individual or an individual group like an at-large seat, and it's rather the responsibility of steering at large, that it should be captured there, not under the job description. But I do think that the lineup is actually pretty much the same for how we consolidate under council co-chair.
So would folks be okay, since in many ways, sort of per what Jose Luis was saying, of using the similar description for council co-chair for at large? Okay, great.
Because that's where we change things like PLWH.
Yeah. So we already updated all of that stuff. We could actually literally just sort of move past page 10 and a lot of 11.
Okay, so we'll just use that.
Impact or Comic Sans.
One of the organizations.
Oh, okay.
I guess
it is. Vermont. I'm not seeing anywhere, I'm not sure if it's necessary, but what does the group feel about naming the numbers of the number of at large? Is that, am I just missing that?
I think that we voted on that really quickly, like 2 meetings or 3 meetings ago.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We can just add it to this.
Okay.
Is it addressed anywhere else?
Yeah.
Is it addressed in steering?
In the bylaws, I think.
In the bylaws.
And it's.
Yeah, so we don't even need to add it. We don't even need to add it here because it's already in the bylaws. Which is, okay.
So we're down to page 11, election.
Yeah. From within. What does that mean?
Behind closed doors.
That's very similar.
Maybe just the terminology.
Maybe.
Rather than membership, because it seems to.
Yeah, I mean, do we even need it?
Right.
I mean, it's assumed.
Yeah.
Can we just remove election from within?
I know we have to have that. At large members shall be elected by HPPC membership from within. There was a point where people were wanting to. In
oh, that's why. Okay. That's one of those things. That's why that was in there. Okay.
We weren't immune to creating things out of
necessity. Okay, so should we just remove that then? Yeah.
So I'm lost. Are we taking it out or are we
taking it out?
Taking
it's
it
out.
Although, the more I look at it, the more I like it. We need that second paragraph. That first paragraph seems pretty clear, but that second paragraph seems.
I'm not sure that it isn't good to say that they have to put it in, the people have to put it in writing. I mean, that's more for council staff.
Well, they don't have to. I mean, they literally can say, I'll resign. It's like we can't force them to continue on.
It's more about the other way around.
So that was just a procedural, so we had it in writing to send out to all And in writing was usually someone sent an email saying I cannot serve the rest of my term. I'm resigning as of this date. And then we would forward that to the executive.
But I think what Mark's saying, we could just do something very simple, say, shall give notice to council staff or something.
Yeah.
And not make it in writing.
Or is it even necessary? Is it to the point of, like, micromanaging? And we just hold it self-evident that anyone can resign for any reason in whatever way that they want.
Yeah, and there's not language to this effect for other seats, so it seems odd.
I just recall over the years when people got hot under the collar and said, I'm quitting, and then came back and said, no, I didn't really mean that.
Well, they've had to reapply. I mean, they have. They actually have. The people who have quit in anger have reapplied.
Okay.
They should be more...
They should use their words properly.
Don't communicate.
Exactly. Communication skills.
And some of them weren't accepted.
Okay. So, I mean, you kind of spoke to this, but there wasn't a resignation policy for the committee for chairs.
Yeah.
And it seems like maybe is there now a universal policy?
I don't think there is. I wonder if this committee should just come up with like a couple sentence standalone policy that actually refers to all seats, all officer seats, as if like literally using that first paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
If an officer resigns from office prior to the end of his or her term, the blah blah blah, blah blah blah.
Is officer, is there another word?
I think that's the language you've been using. Officer.
Because I don't think you know, like by look before I get my phone.
I think the only difference was with the council co-chair was that you should strive to have the replacement still fill demographic seats.
Right.
And we only refer to officers in the bylaws as just the co-chairs. It doesn't the council co-chairs. It doesn't refer to the at large or committee co-chairs as officers. So I think if we put council leadership...
Yeah, I think what we should do is put a pin on this, because I think it should be a separate policy. Maybe we could do it like in the next few minutes, but maybe wrap up at large and then create that policy using whatever word, officer, seats, whatever, yeah, chairs.
Yeah. Another option is that we have a general resignation policy for any council member, and then we could have
an
additional
add-on
section that applies to each.
Is that under officers?
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
It'd be interesting to see how we said that anyway in the general membership. Make sure that there's consistency.
Yeah, we might just be replicating language elsewhere. So, how do folks feel about that?
So that would be it. Looks like as far as that
section.
Yeah.
So move that whatever changes we've made that have been so appropriately designated by Liz.
Was Jesse seconding that?
Second that.
All in favor of policy as amended? We are moving right along. The next policy we have on page is policy expense reimbursement, and we are going to table that one more month. Sounds like we're waiting from a couple of different parties to hear more from the person, the CDC report. Mm-hmm. So we'll put a pin in this.
No, we can't really consolidate because there's actually a genuine tension between what the two councils' policies were. So the former policy.
I don't know that there is one person that was in charge of all that, and I can check with that person, but I don't know.
I think I heard.
So have a larger discussion, because I'm trying to overhear what you're saying.
The secret.
I think that the numbers are okay with.
I'm sorry, what was that question? I was stuck in session.
So it was asked how many people for prevention were receiving a stipend, and it was, two.
Okay.
In the interim, we're still accepting expense reimbursements. I don't think there's any questions around that, so they're still able to be submitted and processed.
So what I was saying to Charles was that it is we can't just really combine, because there actually is a tension between the two different ways that the two councils formally supported their members. The Provincial Council allowed stipends. HRSA restricts payment for council members. It does allow for expense reimbursement, though, particularly around travel.
Which we may have that way, is by calling it reimbursement for expenses.
Oh, human expenses?
Yeah, human expenses. For your time.
Yeah, and for the prevention side, it was the stipends really were there because some people had other means of, so they weren't able to submit, oh, I'm losing 4 hours of a job because their job may have been in a place that they don't receive a pay stub and stuff like that. So it's one of those tensions always. The CDC and HRSA want us to engage and have members of the community that are at risk or living with HIV, yet put these restrictions where we can't, it limits what we can do and help support them. Right?
I think we can resolve this.
Yeah.
Well, I just think that we care, because if my understanding is that prevention is a little bit more liberal, then it needs to be communicated, because there are going to be care people that are going to want to utilize that if it becomes more liberal in the sense that it's reimbursing for people who have jobs, because we've never done that.
Well, it's still for non-aligned. It would still be for non-aligned.
Right.
But there is certainly a considerably larger number of those members. Yeah.
Quite frankly, many of the prevention side would be non-aligned.
Yeah. But again, it's for wages lost as right. well, so there have to be demonstrated wages lost.
But you'd have a hard time calling that an expense. Anyway, y'all can figure it out.
TBD.
I feel like I picked that one up from Mark, so if you
want to
speak to its history.
It's a granny reference.
Okay.
That's what I model all of my various.
I stick forward.
Yeah, we're skipping that one.
Okay.
So. The next policy I'm on page 13 is application selection and appointment.
Oof, that looks like it's
going to be a long time. Just to do a time check, we're at 4:30 right now, and I actually wonder if we might want to skip forward and look at some of the funding-related items. Maybe unfund. How do folks feel about that?
I think we need to do that, because we might actually have to be doing that next month.
Yeah.
I haven't heard back from Dean yet, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What page? 25.
So I'm on page. Yeah.
So here's one where I really think it's good to have that clear delineation between rollover and the various different kinds of leftover funds, so to speak. Because we often get really confused on which one is which.
Yeah, I think prevention also has to deal with these dollars. I'm not sure if they have to deal with both rollover and unobligated funds. You know, my question to you, Kevin, actually, is when we deal with carry-forward dollars, it's solely the rollover funds, right? The unobligated funds is nothing that we actually deal with or have dealt with.
I think the issue that's come up in the past is there's been funds left on the table through the administrative component that we haven't been privy to, and that.
Oh, but that's. I think that's separate. I think we're talking about funds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It isn't a form of unfunds. I'm just saying whatever they all be delineated and discussed so that it doesn't become a problem later.
I think there's a big difference there in some ways. So any funds left over from the administrative line, the administration certainly in some ways. They handle that. The funds left over from contractors is just funds really that they have not used, and so that have to be spent down, or we're going to lose it out of our potential award amount next year.
But I think the issue was, as I recall, Mark, that if they made the decision to fund something that is the same category as we are looking at funding under rollover funds or unobligated funds, and we don't know that they are pouring money into food vouchers. That was the thing that came up. The last time around was one of the first times we found out that they are, in fact, they have monies that are left over and that they are putting them in various categories. And that we just wanted to make sure that we didn't duplicate that, because if they already decided on in their purview, which it is their purview, to put those monies into some category that we then also are trying to put monies in, it's kind of like, let's have a transparency.
But, you know, I think I might have to disagree with you a little bit, because I feel like throughout the years I actually have, when asked, and I think they ask fairly regularly, how much do you think we should put in the vouchers? Because we're sure you put some voucher, you have some either stored up or you've been putting some in there with your admin funds. That communication happens usually, and that often impacts the dollar amount for each of those. It seems like almost every year a group will come up with sort of a general amount, like 50, 50, 100. And then we'll later hear back from DPH saying, well, we actually have a lot here. So maybe you could put less there, maybe put it somewhere else. So I feel like I hear that pretty regularly. I think it was in some ways.
Maybe it's how it's communicated from you down to us.
I think it's actually been mentioned at the committee level. but yeah, I see what you mean as far as that needs to be clarified, certainly during discussions of carry forward funds, but does it need to be a part of the unfund policy?
Only to the extent that new people coming and reading this stuff for the first time understand that there are a number of these, for lack of a better word, magic funds that show up. You know, it's sort of like the supervisors suddenly have this pocket of money somewhere, so that we know that money could be coming from a number of different sources. When you say unfunds.
In Santa Clara County, for what we call reallocation. And we put percentage levels in there. If it was over 10% or 25%, it required approval of the planning council. I don't know what the history is here. Huh. My sense is that it's just rollover funds proper that are dealt with here.
Okay.
I like the word reallocation, even if it's in conjunction with unfunds or whatever you're going to say, because it's a better understanding of what this is.
Well, I mean, you have every incentive to spend down your awards, or you have unspent funds in a contract that didn't hire somebody or something. You want to be able to spend it down into a service category that needs it.
So I guess moving back then, do people have any questions about what these funds are? The main thing that we deal with are rollover funds. My understanding is unobligated funds, they don't happen that often. And when they do, they certainly it's following the RFP process. And what the council is mainly concerned with are those carry forward dollars, which are the rollover funds. And this shouldn't be new to prevention either. So prevention also has to deal with carry forward. I assume also unobligated funds with the same lack of frequency.
But I think they said they don't.
You don't have unobligated funds.
They have
or
them, but they don't tell the council.
The council doesn't deal with it. That's an administrative fee.
Also, it's never even been discussed at the council level. Oh. Okay.
And so I think this is where, before we discuss this further, I think we kick this back then. Because if we have no purview over this, and because these funds.
Well, we could just talk, literally in the background area, it says Ryan White. So all we'd have to do is make sure that it's Ryan White Part A is noted
all
throughout.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's true. As far as CDC funds, council's obligation is only advisory, and so the CHEP can choose what comes before.
But in fact, it may well be, if he checks, it may well be that they have no problem putting these two together. I don't know how much you see. Do you see very much? Do you know?
I'm going to play it. I am new
Sorry.
To the department, and I actually have not had to go through this process, so I do not. So that is a question that I would have to kick back up to John Mellicar and Tracy Packard.
So can I suggest we table this until we get, if it's even an issue? If it's not an issue that it covers both, I think it's
I think that's a good idea. Would you be able to check in with the powers that be to see if they would like to sort of keep the paradigm that has been in the past, or if they, because if so, that would be an easy fix. We just simply add Ryan White Parday, or if they want this to be a new thing added to the council.
Use words like transparency.
Yes. Actually, Kevin, you may have some experience with this from your time with Santa Clara.
Yeah, I mean, there is no allocating authority on the part of the intervention council, period. Mm-hmm. They deal in broad service. The heavy role
with populations.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, well, they wouldn't bring that in. But still, I think that putting a pin in it and waiting for Jose Luis or Eileen to speak to it at the next meeting, sort of, because it's going to be up to them, up to Chet's staff to make the determination about what they would like.
Yeah, I'd like to check with Dean too on the precise definition of rollover to make sure we're clear on that. So let's, if we can, let's take that.
Because if nothing else, when we finally do get to it, it would be good to have a clarification for all the various fine nuances, just so people can't be, after the fact, be upset about, hey, wait a minute. Well,
right.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Is this from care or prevention?
The title section?
Care?
It's from.
Oh, they're staring, yeah.
Does Tyburn's policy appears to only apply to co-chair elections or elections of
council co-chair or you mean committee
of any person being elected for any position?
What itself is a runoff vote?
What?
A runoff vote.
Yes, there's a tie.
What's a runoff?
You have the vote again between the two people who have tied and anyone else.
Give an example.
Is out.
So say you and me are tied.
Mm-hmm. And Chuck is in third place.
Third place. That's a runoff vote.
You do a vote between you two and poor Chuck is out.
Top two. Yeah. Okay.
And
it's a $100 dash.
So how does that work when it comes down to membership? So if membership is looking at a candidate and there's a tie vote on accept or not accept.
Oh, because it's not a 50-50 vote when it comes to
it specifically calls it elections, not voting on all items.
Yeah, so it's a 50 plus one. So, and for fiscal, it's 2/3. So this is only for these offices of co-chair and look like any, actually for any election. And we have had tie votes.
We've had three consecutive tie votes on something.
Wow.
Or a co-chair before, so.
Yeah.
Were you? This is back when we were at Quaker.
The back when we were at the Vienna
Center. You were there. And you were there. And you
were. Wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
You folks okay with this policy?
So, just practically how would this work? Then the next, I'm just saying, if there was a second tie, then a vote would be made at the next steering committee meeting.
I think so. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Okay. At which everyone can vote.
Yes.
When
the lobbying commence.
When it's brought to the steering committee, though, is it just the co-chairs that can vote in, or can anyone from the council
vote? Anyone can vote.
There's another...
Yeah.
Council.
This is one of those, I think we just say
it. Any members of the council can vote, can come for the tie in vote.
So, again, is this one of, it's come up so there was a policy created, or is this one of the, we're preparing for?
I don't know, actually. The tie that did came up, it was pretty, there was harsh language exchange, but it was mainly towards council staff. I don't think we referred to this at all. We just literally had the runoff, and it was no longer a tie.
Okay.
No, we didn't. Actually, we didn't have the runoff. I think the group just made a snap decision to accept both as at-large members.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you remember that one.
The good thing about being older is you forget all the bad stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't forget some of those comments. yeah, so that's what we did with that one. Is I think in the spirit of positivity, the group decided just to add an additional at-large member.
So where are we? So we leave this the way it is? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Move to group.
So why don't you pick the ones you know and might going to be issues or possible issues?
Well, you know, since we have like 15 minutes, should we go for the easy ones?
Yeah.
Clear it out for them.
Open to suggestions.
How about recruitment?
Yeah,
that seems like a short one.
But is recruitment really an issue right now?
That's why it could be an easy one.
Yeah.
It could actually be a very simple policy to
yeah.
to
only
there's
I see,
only one.
The only thing I see changing is the number 4, community and minority affairs. Change that to me. Community engagement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, so there's almost no recruitment policy prevention.
Not per se. There was a membership policy on how to bring members on. It was basically steering would create an ad hoc that would elicit applications. And if there were specific vacancies, such as gay, Latino, or trans female, that would be put in the announcement saying that we are open for new council members, specifically looking for people of these demographic to keep our parity, inclusion, and representation. So that was the extent of the policy.
Yeah, and follows number 4.
Mm-hmm. Well, number 1 also needs to just have language to incorporate. Which one are we?
I think we just do the same thing we've done before. To meet that meets the requirement meets the requirements of the CDC and Ryan White programs, etc. And then we change that last one per Ron to the Community Engagement Committee.
Nothing else.
Of the community engagement, that would be Wade Flores and Aja Monet.
Oh, wow.
So is there somewhere where we talk about resignation and getting feedback?
Exit interviews?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah, with those changes.
I move to approve as amended.
Second.
All in favor? Passes.
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
I mean, what about? I mean, it seems like a silly thing to say, but it is a smaller policy, conflict resolution.
Yes, go for it.
Yeah. So
it doesn't need to be a conflicted discussion.
No.
Sorry, what page?
That's page
28.
The one right after.
That's conflict resolution, which is actually kind of long. Like.
It's a separate policy from grievance procedure, though.
Yeah.
It's entirely separate.
It's
grievance procedure is if someone doesn't appreciate the council's decision, in particular around funding. Conflict resolution is if council members have a issue with each other.
Right. I feel like the prevention grievance policy has some conflict resolution
in there. Oh.
Which is maybe why I'm doing it. But
yeah.
Conflict of interest, sorry, that's what I thought. I heard perhaps I'm like selectively hearing that phrase everywhere. But that could be a relatively short one. Since I think that doesn't mean
conflict of interest.
We could do that one. I don't know. That one's a little.
Seems like
80. There's only one. Bethany suggested the relationship between council and counties.
Ooh,
it's a little. I feel like
it's a little serious. There's a lot going on there as well.
Yeah. Every time I read it, I just.
Yeah. A lot going on in the policy, and there's actually a lot going on with potential shifts on the national level as well. So what was conflict of interest? Did we not do that one? Is that a hard one?
Conflict of interest is on page 16.
Ooh, that is not a short one.
How about application, selection, and appointment?
That's like three pages, isn't it?
It is. Is it? I mean, Ally, is it pretty standard?
There's two separate policies.
No, it's
a group. What page is work groups?
18-19.
Oh, work groups.
Yeah, really just prevention.
Yeah, work groups should be pretty easy.
Oh, no, there's another one.
There's another
one
page here.
Yeah.
Maybe just the end of the meeting?
More to approve.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we got a lot done today.
Okay.
So, yay to that.
So, as far as the next agenda items, I have a question for the group. Is this group anyone's home committee who is not going to be at other committees next month?
I think so.
Yes?
No.
So the three of you have other home committees as well?
I have a home committee other than this.
Okay, so I'll ask the group. Let's see. Well, let's get this as well. Allie and Liz, do you guys know if there's anyone else here who has this as their home committee who's not appearing at the thing I have in my hand that you can't see?
Richard is membership.
Caesar, maybe? Okay, so I think we do need to do this. I'm going to leave it for the group.
TJ.
TJ, maybe. We haven't heard from TJ for a while. Okay, so I'll leave it up to the group. Next month is our exciting traveling motion about resource allocation. The resource allocation for Ryan White Part A dollars requires funding scenarios for increased funding, decreased funding, and flat funding. The process for the council in the past so that ambitiously enough, every single council member could potentially have a chance to look at it and weigh in on it before it coming to a full council vote. So it literally starts its journey at the first, either the first committee of the month or the last committee of the prior month. In this case, it'll be the last work group of the prior month. It'll start with PLWH on the 20th of this month and then move on to at least the three committees. And it can be updated and changed by committee until it eventually lands at steering. And steering has the final say, sort of, on what then comes before the full council on the summit, which can also then change at the summit. But at that point at the summit, everyone has already, hopefully, absorbed what that is. So do you guys want that to, since this is now a home committee for several people, should we now bring this to this committee as well?
Where does this committee fall in the sequences?
This committee falls after council affairs. I'm sorry, after community engagement, but before council affairs and membership. So it would be the third of six or seven. Integrated work plan.
Integrated work plan is their home committee too.
Yep.
So personally, I would be willing to attend another committee for that discussion.
Okay.
But if there's other members of this group,
we can reach out to the other members who are not here now. So it might be.
And I might reach out. When
those meetings end. Okay, great. It'll just be important to have everyone to have that possibility. Some people won't, because some people, like some government appointees, just they don't have home committees and they might not be coaxed into a committee.
Right.
But I think people should all be afforded the opportunity. So what council staff will do will actually then reach out to members of this committee as well as to the people who do not have home committees and invite them to come to any number of these committees, any one of these committees to weigh in. Okay, good. So it'll be off the agenda. I think there's enough on this committee's and work group's plate.
Great. Our next meeting is on August 4th, 3 to 5, and I think that's it. The motion to adjourn. Old school stuff. Okay, adjourn.
You also are a membership.
Right. This is my